Hello, and welcome to In the Shadow of the Evening Trees. This is Jennifer Von Ebers.
This is David Von Ebers. I totally spaced out.
That's okay.
I hit record and then forgot what we were doing.
Always record.
Literally like that. Like, the thing started moving across the screen, and you started talking, and I'm just sitting there looking at the wall.
It's all good.
And then you started to say in the shadow of the evening trees, and I'm like, is that what we call them? Yeah.
Yes.
That is what we do. We have a lot of things going on.
We're episode 22.
Yeah. We're kind of like influencers. We have different things happening.
Yep.
You know, so I didn't know what we were actually doing tonight, but here we are.
We're winging it tonight.
We're winging it. Normally, it's highly scripted and very carefully planned out.
Curated to the ninth, yeah. So we've been enjoying summer-like temperatures in the Chicagoland area in the middle of April, which is beginning of... No, it isn't. It is almost the middle of April.
We should point out that we actually had to put the air conditioning on, so if you hear noise in the background, other than the usual toilets flushing...
Cats crying,
dishwasher going... random sounds from the neighborhood. There's also the air conditioning, and this is unprecedented to put the air conditioning on April 12th.
Yeah, it was just way too hot and humid, so we had to pull the trigger and choose comfort over sweating.
But it's nuts because, I mean, we will occasionally get a warm day in April or sometimes even in March, but we've had well over a week of like at least mid-60s into the 70s. Today it hit 80. That does not happen in this area very often in, you know, this time of year.
And it's going to last throughout the weekend, right. So which is nice.
It was funny because we went for a walk on Saturday like we like to do. We came back and we flipped on the Masters, expecting it to be, you know, kind of late rounds. I can only watch so much golf. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but it's kind of the same thing over and over and over
again.
So we were expecting to see later rounds, but they were in the middle of a weather delay that actually suspended play, so they were replaying earlier rounds from that. I say rounds, earlier holes.
Yes.
From that morning, and I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be 61 soon. I'm pretty sure this is the first time in my life that the weather was nicer in Chicago than in Augusta on the weekend of the Masters.
100%.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't like the Masters, is because they start advertising it around the time of the NCAA
and
basketball tournament.
And everyone's in shorts, right. It's summer, and it's
right.
Sunshine.
They show these beautiful green you know, scenes and everything like that.
Everything's
and
alive.
It's always the weather's always terrible around here, late March, early April. So I usually have only limited tolerance for the it's not the tournament, it's the advertising that bothers me when we're watching basketball, which at least is a winter sport, and you expect the weather to be bad. Then they put on these ads for the Masters, because that's like the next big thing. There's like, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament, opening day in Major League Baseball, and the Masters, and they're all around the same time. And anyway, so we actually sat there, and it took a minute to realize that we were watching, like I said, we're watching them play holes from earlier in the day.
Yeah, and that people had coats on and bundled up, and I was like, what is happening right now? We did catch a little bit of it on Sunday, which was funny because I've always told David, I'm like, I don't know anybody who watches golf. It's insane and everything. It was kind of a little bit entertaining towards the end when they were getting close to the end. And I still don't know all the terminology, so it's always like, what is birdie again? I just have to ask you.
Birdie is one under. Bogey is over par. Eagle is three under. And then it gets more... What is an albatross? An albatross is even better than an eagle.
I don't know.
Jeopardy question every
that
so often.
That is a
often.
Jeopardy question.
But, you know, my thing about golf is that I can totally understand why people like to play it, because you're outdoors, the scenery is nice and all that. We walk by a golf course all the time, like almost every day. But watching it on TV, it doesn't have the same level of intensity that most sports have. But the thing to do is you tune in Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. So you see the last few holes of the second to last round, which kind of sets the stage for the next day. And then you watch the last few rounds of the last day, and you see who wins. And you're seeing the best, you know, the best players by and large. Although that's not always the case, because sometimes the second place golfer might already be done for the day, and you're watching, you know, or whatever. Or I guess it could even be the first. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the scenario where somebody gets such a lead early on, goes into the clubhouse, and then they're still showing the second and third place. Usually it's you know, the first, second, third place players, or at least most of them, are still playing, you know, towards the end of the day on Sunday. But anyway, it was kind of fun.
Well, I Googled some questions about golf while we were watching it. What is the purse for winning it, which I believe is $3 million? How much do the caddies make? Because it seemed like those people had their caddies for several years, and I'm like, what kind of gig is that? The question I didn't get answered is, why do the caddies have to wear those outfits that look like they are like cleaning up a mess in a school hallway,
handyman, or they're cleaning up after a murder or something like that, like the people who go in and clean up a crime scene.
Yeah, like why can't they wear like shirt and pants or something like that? I don't know why they have to wear that thing. So if anybody has the answer to that,
an albatross is 3 under par.
Oh, okay.
I had to look it up because I know it's been it's a favorite like trivia question. Jeopardy, Masterminds, you know, those kind of games, somebody always mentions it.
Well, and that's why I don't like playing it. I've played it in my early 20s and only a couple times, and it's just very frustrating. It takes a lot of practice. I don't have the patience for it, and so, yeah,
We had a golf class in high school, and I don't know that it was offered all that often, but I took it. And our high school golf team was actually, at that time, they only had a boys' golf
team. Can we tell them the fun fact that we went to the same high school?
We went to the same high school.
Yes.
But in those days, it was sort of pre-Title IX, and so there was only a boys' golf team at that point. But they were very good, and one of our good friends, who I won't name because, you know, we have so many people who follow us that we don't want to drag
a personal friend
into it. But one of my high school and college friends happened to be a very good golfer. He was also on the baseball team. He was a pretty good pitcher too, but he played golf at our high school. Anyway, but the golf class, you know, I mean, we're living in the suburbs, not really very close to a legit golf course. I guess we could have gone to Columbus Park and played if we wanted to play on an actual golf course. But in any event, the way they did it was indoors.
Okay, I was just going to ask because I never took it.
In a large gym, you know, one of those gyms, this will only make sense to us, but it's one of those gyms that's across from the field house, across that quarter that runs east to west.
Where they sometimes play volleyball in.
Right, exactly. And they set up, we had these little mats that were like kind of like small bits of AstroTurf. I think the tee may have been permanently fixed in the mat. I don't think you actually had to put the tee into the mat. But anyway, so they lined up these little mats facing opposite, well, they weren't facing anyway, but there were two parallel lines, and we would line up facing the opposite walls, the long walls of the rectangular gym. And basically we would, you know, we had golf clubs, and our instructor, he was actual golf coach, but he was one of the older gym teachers. I won't name him either, because he was actually gym teachers can get a bad rap. He was actually a really nice guy, but he was very old, and at that point, I think, was essentially the chair of the athletic department. So he really wasn't that interested. So he'd come in the room, and he'd tell us what we were going to do for that day, what shots we were going to practice or whatever, what clubs we were going to use, give us some demonstrations, watch us for 5 minutes maybe, you know, as we're and then he'd leave, and he'd go up to his office, and he would handle business, basically, you know.
Was it mayhem or kids
it
like
it was absolute mayhem. The balls, because obviously we're indoors,
okay,
and they're bouncing
on
the wall.
The side of the wall,
Nope.
So you
were
just
driving against the wall. But the balls were not real golf balls. They were the size and shape of a golf ball with the dimples and everything like that. But they were like those rubber. No, not quite that. But like the rubber baseballs you used when you were a kid, except they were golf ball size. But they didn't really hurt. But what would happen invariably, because you couldn't like literally kill someone with one, the coach would leave, and then we'd all just turn on each other and start, you know, and then he would come back in like, you know, 10, 15 minutes later or closer to the end of the period or whatever, and the air would just be thick with these golf balls because we were just throwing them at each other.
Right.
So I didn't learn a lot about golf. And then I think at one point he would, at a certain point.
I hope everybody got an A.
Oh, yeah. But at a certain point, he knew what was going on, and so he would have one kid, like stand at the wall, facing these two long lines, theoretically to keep an eye on everybody, and then that kid was supposed to rat out whoever did it.
Oh my gosh!
Which of course the kid wouldn't do anyway. I mean, it wasn't always the same kid. He would pick a kid. Thank God I never had to do that. But the kid wouldn't rat anybody out anyway, whoever it was. But not only that. It was everybody. He could just have said, well, coach, it was everyone but me.
Right, because I'm standing there.
And I'll do it tomorrow when you pick someone else.
Right.
The best part about that was I actually was not supposed to be in that class. This was freshman high school. And I was on the swim team. And so when you were in our high school, when you were on a team during the season of whatever sport you were playing, you didn't have gym class.
Because
that was... They wanted you to have an extra study hall so you'd get some homework done or whatever because you had a big commitment in the afternoon. Like when I was on the swim team, we would go immediately after the ninth period class at the end of the day. We would be there till 6:30 at night because we would run laps on the track. We'd go to the weight room, and then the swimming workout will begin, you know, an hour or so into the practice. So anyway, it's a big commitment of time, so they didn't want you to go to gym class when you were already getting a lot of exercise anyway, so you'd go to a study hall instead. But so the swim season ended. It was a winter sport then, boys swimming. I don't know if it still is, but it was a winter sport. The season ended in the spring, and it just so happened by the luck of the draw, I was assigned to swimming class in gym when the swimming season ended.
Because sometimes you didn't get to pick. It was assigned for you.
And so was one of my friends, still a very good friend of mine, who was also on the swim team. So the first day of class for the swim team, they had everybody try to swim a length of the pool so that the teacher could kind of gauge where you were. And thinking back about it, I'm not so sure this was the smartest thing to do because they had us starting at the deep end.
Yeah.
I guess the theory was...
Hope you can swim.
Well, the theory was you probably had a better chance going from the deep end to the shallow end versus the shallow end to the deep end because we got halfway... three quarters of the way, whatever, and then you're in the whatever.
Yeah.
But so
that's funny.
They had two lines of kids lining up to swim, and so my buddy and I lined up together so we would go at the same time, and we raced. We were jackasses. We thought we were funny. We raced. We were showing off, obviously. So we get, you know, after that class, the next day they assigned us both to golf. They're like, you're done with swimming. Because they were actually trying to teach kids how to swim who didn't know how to swim.
You could have been like a helper.
Well, I was eventually. They called us trainers. Once you couldn't do it as a freshman, but if you were, I think, a junior or a senior, you could be a trainer. You could help out. So I was kind of like a narc. I ended up helping out with the gym teachers, which is like totally destroys my credibility as a radical, you know.
Exactly.
But I did help teach it. I did help teach swimming, which was cool. But then we'd do other things like, you know, they'd have us help with soccer. Now, you know what happens when people who don't know how to play soccer, they just run around and follow the ball. So, I mean, even in high school this would happen.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I'm supposed to be helping out. What was I supposed to do? I just follow this little pack of kids around following the ball. Yeah, it was fun.
So when you had the golf, though, that was obviously just boys in that golf class.
Yeah.
Okay, co-ed.
At that point, the only co-ed gym class they had was they had just started this thing called, they called it personal fitness, which was like going to the health club. You'd go up to the weight room and you know, you'd learn a
I
few.
I definitely took that, and
yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, it was great. now I'm choking. But, yeah, no, that was a great idea. And that was right at the beginning of gym teachers starting to think, hey, maybe this isn't just about, like, creating a Lord of the Flies situation. Well, all these kids are going to kill each other. Let's actually teach kids how to, like, be healthy and stuff like that. And they didn't have a lot of, like, aerobic equipment at that point. They didn't have exercise bikes and treadmills. But the weight room was good. We'd run on the track indoor, the indoor track, in the bad weather. We'd run outside when it was nice. And actually, it was really cool.
It is. And later, after many years after we graduated, they built a super deluxe track across the street from the high school, which when we were growing up was actually like buildings and businesses there. So
it was the Greasy Spoon.
It was the Greasy Spoon.
Yeah, my German teacher would always, if someone was missing, they'd ask. He would ask where they were, and then he would say, Dort drüben im Greasy Spoon, which means over there in the Greasy Spoon. He was convinced that people were cutting German class to go to the Greasy Spoon.
Yeah, now I'm mad that I didn't take golf because I could have had that option. But I always took like stuff that I knew I would be good at: tennis, gymnastics, the weight training was fun. So basketball
was great.
Yeah.
The other thing, speaking of Lord of the Flies, we played a game which I think is actually still common in Europe, and at one point it was an Olympic sport. I don't know if it still is. We called it team handball to distinguish it from like handball where you're hitting a ball against the wall. Team handball was basically a ridiculous combination of like basketball and soccer, and you essentially, you know, you didn't kick the ball, you dribbled the ball, but you had a goal on either end and you had a goalie.
I never
and
got to play that.
It was kind of like 5-on-5, but we played it on a basketball court. So it's a confined space.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's like a contact sport.
I was just going to say, is there a strategy of like blocking and
yeah, it's,
all that stuff?
It's like hockey, soccer, and basketball in one. And it's a brutal sport. And for some reason, like, I was not a super athletic kid. I was a swimmer. I liked to play basketball, and I was terrible at it. But we loved this. We loved playing this. And it was like not a particularly well-known thing. And I don't know, some gym teacher at somewhere along the lines got the idea of playing this thing that they called team handball. And like I said, it was an Olympic sport back then. I don't know if it still is. It was absolute mayhem.
I think it is.
They may just call it handball for all I know.
Yeah, it says, well, this just says, what are the rules for Olympic team handball? The team with the higher score, most goals wins, obviously. During the game, players are allowed to hold the ball for only 3 seconds before they pass, yep, dribble, or shoot it. They can also struggle for the ball with their body and hands without hitting the opponent.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Players are not allowed to push, hit, or fall on their opponent. That is hilarious.
It was mayhem, but for some reason, we absolutely loved it.
I never got to play it.
Well, they wouldn't have, you know. I mean, it was you know how it was. They wouldn't have let girls play.
Probably not.
And I'm sure, even at the time, there were probably women playing it overseas. There were probably leagues, but we weren't allowed to do that. But, you know, this does kind of bring us back. I had no idea we were going to talk about high school sports and high school gym classes, but this does kind of bring us back to some of the things that we were talking about last week about, you know, about high school kids, youth sports and trans kids being able to play. And one of the stories that I saw this week was that the Department of Education has announced some new proposed rules around trans kids participating in sports in elementary and high school. And maybe college. I'm not 100%. It must also include colleges. I'm thinking about it. And there was a lot of controversy. People were kind of concerned. Some people thought that the Biden administration, was sort of backtracking on some of the statements they had made in support of trans kids and trans athletes. A couple of thoughts. Number one, I haven't read these regulations. So their proposed regulations. So maybe that's number one. Number one, they haven't gone into effect. The way, you know, the federal government does things, the way every agency works is, when they want to make new rules, they draft proposed rules, they make them public so that people have an opportunity to comment on them. They often have hearings, public hearings, where people actually testify for and against the proposals. And so a lot could happen before these actual proposals become law. That's number one. Number two, I haven't read them, so I can't really comment intelligently about them one way or the other. Number three, I have heard some people say, well, on further reflection, it's not quite as bad as we thought. In fact, it's sort of a nuanced approach, whatever. But here's the thing, here's the one concern that I have that has come up in discussions about these proposed rules, and that is that the rules apparently, and again, I haven't read them, and so don't quote me on this, and if I'm wrong, I will happily admit it. I am an adult, I can admit being wrong. But the rules apparently give some level of discretion, or would give some level of discretion to, athletic organizations. So, high school, like in Illinois, we have the Illinois High School Athletic Association, IHSA. I don't think I said that right, but, and then there's like the college conferences, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 and et cetera. They're not the Pac-10 anymore, but, and the NCAA as a whole. Anyway, the rules, I guess, would give some discretion to those organizations to set the terms on which trans athletes can play in the sport of the gender that they identify with, right? So, maybe that sounds benign, because you could say, well, they're kind of the experts, let them make the rules. They can't ban trans athletes, and they can't have a blanket ban on for example, a trans woman or a trans girl playing in women's and girls' sports, okay? But they do allow some discretion, apparently, to the leagues to make their own rules about under what circumstances kids can play. And it sounds, on the surface of it, that may sound reasonable, but here's my concern. And it's sort of an overarching concern about all of this sort of thing. One of the rules that I guess they're considering allowing would be a rule that says something along the lines of, for a trans woman or girl to play in women's or girls' sports, they would have to have been on hormones for a period of 2 years before they could play. So just stepping back, the idea is, and this may not be an accurate idea, but the idea is that if a kid still has a fair amount of testosterone in their body, that may give them some advantage over a cisgender girl. Now, there's a lot of scientists, a lot of doctors who dispute that fact, and they say that's really not the case. But putting that aside for a moment, the concern that I saw at least one person, one trans person raise on Twitter is that whether or not you think that makes sense, having that 2-year gap before, let's say, a high school kid or a college kid could play in a sport that aligns with the gender that they identify with, what you're doing is you're delegating the power to these leagues to kind of say, we're going to kind of control your health care. Because if you're a trans athlete, you either will have to say, well, I got to go on hormones now so I can play when I'm in college, or I can play when I'm a senior or whatever. And if I don't, even though that might be a choice that I don't really want to make right now, if I don't, I'm foreclosing the opportunity of playing sports.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, because then it's like you are forced to make that decision.
Right.
Or be eliminated.
Right. And so there's two things that occur to me kind of at the same time. One is, all of these sort of conservative institutions and people are now making these completely sort of contradictory types of arguments. On the one hand, they're saying, oh no, we can't let kids have any kind of gender-affirming care. No one under 18 should get it. But at the same time, you've got the sports organization saying, well, you're not going to be able to play unless you've already started this process. And, just this inconsistent putting these poor kids in the middle of this debate. Again, like we talked about yesterday, people are having these debates about gender-affirming care for young people as though the young people aren't even in the room with them. And this is just sort of more evidence of that. The other thing that bothers me about it is, and again, this is not an attack on the Biden administration, because I don't know what the rules say, and I don't know what they ultimately will say after the administrative process, you know, concludes. But this, the thing is that, you know, sports people, coaches, leagues, officials, whatever, they sort of view athletes as property, as objects, and they don't treat them as humans, really, right? I mean, you know, it's we had white league officials deciding whether or not black folks could play. We had, you know, we've had instances where, you know, sports rulemaking bodies have prevented cisgender women from competing in women's sports because their testosterone level is too high. We have, we put athletes, or these organizations put athletes through all kinds of things that you and I would maybe never go through. You know, you're treated like livestock in the way they look at your physical health and well-being. We always talk about when someone, an athlete is injured, and the sportscasters will say, "Oh yeah, he's got a groin injury." It's like we objectify these people,
right?
And the coaches and the leagues want to exert like complete dominion and control over their bodies. And this is, to me, is just another example of it. And by the way, these are organizations that have actually done a really, really terrible job protecting kids, right? USA Gymnastics, Larry Nassar,
right,
abused young girls for decades, and no one would listen to the kids who were victims. Now we're going to say USA Gymnastics can decide what girls and what trans kids can compete. You know, the same organization that couldn't protect kids is now going to sit in judgment of trans and non-binary kids. And it's the same. Ohio State University, where Jim Jordan looked the other way. Now he's sitting in Congress, but he was sitting in his office looking the other way while coaches abuse kids. We had what happened with Jerry Sandusky at Penn State. You know, there's a case pending in Illinois about a sports league that failed to advise parents that someone affiliated with the league was abusing children. You know, these are not very credible organizations when it comes to protecting kids, and they're not very credible organizations when it just comes down to making rules about how kids can play sports. You know, the NCAA was notorious for, you know, basically keeping kids, not letting them, you know, while these leagues made billions off of college athletics, the kids couldn't get paid. College athletes at Northwestern tried to unionize, not because they wanted to get paid for playing, but because they wanted to be able to negotiate health care, right? So if a football player gets an injury where they can't play football any longer and they lose their scholarship and they're a student at an extremely expensive university, they at the very least want their health care taken care of, right? To recover from that injury. They were denied the ability to unionize even when it wasn't involving pay. They just begrudgingly allowed kids to make money off of their own name and image and likeness. You know, they were putting student athletes on the cover of, you know, video games that the NCAA or the various leagues were making money off of, but the kids couldn't see a dime of that money until recently, right? So anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but my concern is, number one, I don't like the idea of trying to interfere with this decision-making about gender-affirming care just so a kid can play sports. And number two, I mean, I don't really trust these leagues to make good decisions.
I also have two things to add about that. Is I think a big misconception for a lot of people who are sports leaders who don't know much about the transgender community, is a big misconception, is that somebody who wants to win is going to become trans because they want to, you know, and that's a common thing. And it's like, that's nonsense, because nobody would do that. And also,
and there's no history of it. There's not a single incident that you can point to where that's ever happened.
Right. And also, the person who's transgender just wants to play sports in the gender that they are. So that's the base of it.
Right.
And that's all that it is.
100%.
And it's nothing more than that.
And, you know, people, again, we touched on this, and we're running a little bit long, but we touched on this idea that, you know, people have this misconception of sports being this perfect meritocracy with this always level playing field. But, you know, when an athlete, you know, if you look at a trans athlete and someone will say, well, that person underwent this sort of unnatural process and they have all of these, you know, advantages by virtue of having gone through this process that we deem to be quote-unquote unnatural. Okay, well then, explain to me how a pitcher can blow out their elbow, undergo Tommy John surgery, basically completely remake their elbow,
right,
and they can come back to play. Instead, we don't say to that, we don't say to the pitcher whose elbow is messed up, sorry, you just have to live with your body as it is.
Right.
You can't go undergo surgery to artificially repair a thing that will enable you to play, you know, continue to play baseball.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, there's, and medical science today, you know, these athletes are getting care that you and I would never get.
Heck no.
And I'm not saying that's wrong, but the fact is, the amount of medical intervention that keeps people playing way beyond where they would be able to play, it just seems kind of dumb to say, well, if you transitioned and you're now a trans woman athlete, there's something unnatural about that. But Tommy John surgery or any of the other millions of different kinds of procedures that people go through, that's totally normal. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either. So we'll just call this a sports episode.
It is.
We didn't know that's what it was going to be, but there you go.
It's the Michael Scott thing that we've talked about before. Sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't know where it's going to go.
But we hope you enjoy this episode. And if you have any comments about golf or any of the things, high school classes you got to take when you were in high school, leave us a comment.
Yep.
So you can listen to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And we hope you join us again next time.
Thanks.